Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you will be aware of shrinkflation in relation to things like, say, chocolate bars, but apparently something similar has been happening in relation to mainstream beers in the UK. They're not getting smaller, they're getting weaker. Our Dean McGuinness joins us now to explain. Afternoon, Dean.
Hello, Sean. How are you doing?
Most of the beer you get in a bar is not a craft beer, but we're talking around, usually it's around 4% there on or either side of it. But how low are they going now in terms of the ABV?
Well, what you've got in the UK, this is something that has happened quite a bit, even over the last 50 years. Generally, in Ireland, the alcohol strength of the mainstream beer tends to stick around the 3.9 to 4.3% range. You would have premium imported lagers at about 5.2%. Now, there's been a few attempts to try to reduce the alcohol strength on beers in Ireland. It hasn't been as successful because I think culturally the way that we approach drinking beer is different from the UK, where something like this has been quite successful and quite prolific.
And so why are they trying to do it? Is it just to get people not as drunk?
Well... I wish that there was some coherent policy about alcohol from any government in the universe, but they tend to swing between trying to control how people drink and then trying to raise money out of drinks. So what you have in Ireland, we do have a lower rate of excise tax on beer when the beer is below 2.8%. And that would be something that would be geared towards encouraging people to drink beer at a lower strength. It's been something that's been hard for the mainstream brewers to get to catch on. Where it has worked, it seems to work best in golf clubs. Apparently, there's a direct correlation between the amount you slice a ball and the amount of alcohol you've consumed. I'm not quite sure why that's the case. So if you've got a mid-strength beer, you've got a little bit better chance of driving a ball straight down the fairway. But what happens is when you reduce the alcohol strength in the beer, the amount of excise that is payable is reduced, and then it drops quite substantially when it goes below 2.8%.
Right. And so in the UK, is that why the beers are becoming weaker? Because it drops down to a different tax category?
Yeah, in the UK, it's a different tax category. So once it drops below 3.4%, the tax drops to about 44% of the standard rate of tax. Now, they have a second advantage in the UK. Culturally, the way that people drink beer is different. And also the culture of beer is kind of a little bit of a reflection of UK culture. So there's a little bit of aristocracy that creeps into UK beer styles. For example, you would have a range of styles like ordinary bitter, best bitter, and then strong bitter. Ordinary bitter was pretty much for the working man, typically 3.2 to 3.8%, and it was designed for a man to be able to drink a pint of beer at lunchtime and then still be able to do labour in the afternoon. Best bitter would be 3.8% up to 4.6%, and then above 4.6% was considered to be strong bitter. Now, in the UK, there was one brewer, and their strong bitter was called director's bitter. Basically, what they were saying was they had the general beer for the great unwashed, and then if you were a director of the company, you got the special beer. So a little bit of aristocracy creeping into UK beer styles. Because of that, when they play around with alcohol content, it seems to be a bit more acceptable in the UK because they've got a bit more experience with it, with different beer styles. In Ireland, we're very kind of monolithic when it comes to mainstream beers, and where that has come from is that the country is very much driven by Guinness and Heineken. So in the UK, where you had the Industrial Revolution a couple of hundred years ago, you had a number of regional breweries, and the regional breweries survived. In Ireland, when the Industrial Revolution kicked in, Guinness closed down most of the breweries, and we have an awful lot less diversity in the country outside of craft beer as a result.
Yeah, but say, for instance, like apparently Carling in the UK has gone down from 4% over a period of some years to 3.4%. Now, and it's being sold to people as this, you know, the same product. Does it cost more to bring that the ABV down in a beer?
It reduces the cost of the beer in two ways. In the UK, once they come down to 3.4%, they come down to a lower tax band. Now, the tax band can be about a third of the cost of a pint of beer. So when they bring it down, that tax halves. So they're paying kind of 15% as opposed to 30% of the cost they save. And as well as that, when you're brewing lower strength beer, the way that you brew lower strength beer is you have more water in it, and water tends to be a lot less expensive than the other ingredients that are responsible for the alcohol content. It's something that they've done in the UK. Back in the 80s, there were a number of beers around the kind of 3.4% range, and then Foster's came in at 5%, and what was marketed as a premium beer. And then between the 1980s and now, Foster's has gradually stepped down in strength so that the breweries could save money on it. And effectively, you've got this form of shrinkflation where they're saving money by reducing the alcohol content.
So, and a lot of people are texting in asking the same old question. So then why are alcohol-free beers more or less the same price as beers with alcohol in them?
It is a tricky one. There is kind of two sides to it. The technology for removing the alcohol has got better over the years, but there is an added step involved in the process to remove the alcohol. So they brew the beer with alcohol and then they remove the alcohol. That being said, the cost of removing the alcohol probably isn't equal to the excise. And I suppose what it is that most people that are out drinking alcohol free beers, they're probably not having 8 or 9 or 10 pints of it. They're probably having, you know, kind of a few drinks and drinking alcohol free because they're avoiding alcohol. So the big brewers probably feel that they can get away with taking a little bit more per thing. It is tending to go into the brewers' pockets.
Yeah. As somebody else says, shrinkflation in beer is real. A lot of cans are now 440 mils, not 500 mils. Next thing, a pint glass would be 500 mils. Found that?
Yeah, that was something that was avoided in Ireland, but it has become a thing. They're reducing the size of the can, and 440 ml can is a very popular thing in Ireland. Now, that's direct shrinkflation, where they've literally reduced the size of the can. There was a kind of a double whammy on this with a beer called Dutch Gold, where Dutch Gold was being sold at a specific price point, and then when minimum unit pricing came in, the only way that they could hit that price point was by reducing the size of the can from 500 milliliter to 440 milliliter and reducing the alcohol content from 4.3% down to 3.5%. It worked really well for 1 year because people saw they were getting beer cheaper. And then over time, people didn't appreciate the change in flavor. Reducing the alcohol content definitely changes the flavor in the beer.
Indeed.
And Dutch Gold seems to have kind of died off as a result. It didn't work at the 3.5%.
My word. There's many a field in Ireland scattered with empty cans of Dutch Gold. Dean, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Dean McGuinness there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2. On News Talk, conversation that counts.